unemployment is low, the labor market is in good shape.
The simple message is the economy is doing well.
And I think that's hugely important for an organization or an institution that is as powerful as a central bank, is that you have a public accountability.
You heard Connie Fluke, Janet Yellen and Jill Marcus, three of a small but growing group of women who've risen to the top of the central bank. As more women break this glass ceiling, new research now suggests that this might have an effect on monetary policy. Welcome to Vox Talks, a series of interviews with some of the world's leading economists. My name is Tim Phillips. It's no secret that women have been underrepresented in the boardroom in general, and central bank boards are no different. We also know that firms in which women are decision makers tend to behave differently. So can we say the same about central banks? According to a new working paper and Vox column by Donato Maciandaro, Paolo Profeta and Davide Romeli, the answer seems to be yes. Paola, who is coordinator of the Dondena Gender Initiative at Bocconi University, is with us today to talk about these results. Paola, welcome to Vox Talks.
Hello, Tim.
Paola, central bankers are technocrats and they act on evidence, so should it matter whether they're women or men?
Okay, so we know that the composition of the central bank committees matters, and also personal characteristics are important to understand the decision of central banks. Besides, there is a large experimental literature that suggests that women and men are different in their individual psychological attributes and preferences. So it is natural to ask whether the gender composition of the committee matters for the action and the decisions of the central banks. Let me be more precise. These different individual traits between men and women include risk aversion, attitudes towards negotiation, competitions, time horizon, etc. So in particular, if women tend to be more risk-averse than men, this, when we confirm this for members of a central bank, this will, of course, have clear implications for the conduct of monetary policy.
The first thing you had to do for your research was to count the number of women on central bank boards in more than 100 countries, I think you did this. How did you go about it?
It was a very challenging task. We started from reading the volumes of central bank directories, which are not available online, so you had to go through these volumes. They provide the name of board members. We cross-checked these names using also other sources, for example, central bank websites, annual reports, and then we had to identify the gender of each member, starting from the name, which is not always obvious, and it required a lot of manual work based again on search on central bank websites, annual reports, and also pictures of these individuals on the web. So at the end, we collected information on 2,133 members, of which 275 women. So we were happy about our result.
So let's look at those numbers. Female representation is going up, but it's still very low, isn't it? I did a quick calculation, and I think the average board would have one woman on it.
Yes, it is. It is very low. In 40% of our countries, the board has no women at all. The average share is 16% in 2016. It is increasing because it was 11% in 2002. As you said, the average size of the board is 7 members, so it means around one woman per board on average. However, we have also identified high heterogeneity across countries. So there are also countries, for example, Canada, Sweden, Serbia and Bulgaria have reached 60% of women.
Did you find that there are more women on central bank boards in more equal societies, for example, or in particular types of culture?
That was also our hypothesis or a priori. But when we really checked with the data and really checked the correlations which may matter, we find very little evidence that the share of women on central bank boards depend on the level of gender gap in the country, which in turn reflect cultural aspects. So basically, the only variable which really matters when you do some more elaborative regressions is this staff gender ratio in the bank.
The result that's going to grab the attention of economists is that you found out that female bankers are more aggressive at fighting inflation. How did you identify this?
Yes, that is our main conclusion. So what we estimate a forward-looking Taylor rule that relates the target policy rate, interest rate, to the deviations of expected inflation and output. This is standard in the literature. What we do is we augment it to include the share of women board members and its interaction with the inflation rate. So we use both basic OLS estimates and GMM, and we always find the same result, which that female bankers are more aggressive at fighting inflation. We also use both annual data and quarterly data, but the final result is very robust to the different specifications.
Is this a result you anticipated before you did the research?
Yes, if you think that women are more risk averse. So if you believe that this trait, this individual or psychological trait of women being more risk averse than men, translate into their actions when they really have to take decisions. So when they are in decision-making positions.
Some banks publish minutes now so you can get more detail of their decision-making. Did you look into this? Do you have any insight into how women are changing the conversation?
Actually, this is also very important because a cross-country analysis always suffers some, some weakness. So we also wanted to use more detailed data, really to understand what happens in the board. So we look at the Swedish Central Bank. They provide the tail data. They provide the interest rate changes, which are proposed by each member of the board during each meeting. So we use information for the period from 2000 to 2017, and we analyze these decisions, and we find that in each meeting, women are more likely to propose a higher interest rate. This is consistent with our cross-country analysis.
What you found out here seems to mirror results that previous researchers found in the wider business community, doesn't it?
Yes, we know there is wide research in the literature on gender, on diversity, and in particular in what are the effects of introducing board gender quotas on outcomes. For example, firms' outcomes, financial performance, and so far and so on. It's true that this study is to try to show somehow that the presence of women is related to a different outcome, sometimes with a better performance. But we also know that very few studies are really conclusive. So very few existing studies can prove causality from women to outcomes. Most of the gender literature on diversity provide only correlation, and the share of women itself may be endogenous to the process. And also those existing studies which provide causal evidence do not always find consistent results. So actually, we think that our context, the monetary policy context, is really a great opportunity for advancing our understanding on the role of women in policymaking. And this is because in this context, endogeneity is a weak concern, much weaker than what we found in boards in general, and also because we can explore this relationship between women and risk aversion in real decision-making process. So results are similar, let's say, to what has been suggested by previous literature, but are very innovative because the context allows us to really understand better the role of women in decision-making process.
Do you have plans to take this research further? I mean, one good thing is you're never going to have to count the number of female bankers again.
Yes, of course. Yes, we can do more. For example, we can exploit a little bit more the consequences of having more women on this position, on this top decision-making positions. Because what would be also interesting to do is to understand, apart from the direct effect of women on the interest rates they choose and the direct effect of monetary policy making, whether we may also think about spillover effects or effects, let's say, more large consequences on the economic outcomes.
Have you had any feedback from central bankers to what you found out?
We have started presenting the paper and we received some positive feedbacks from international organizations, for example, from the IMF. They are very interested in this type of research, but not directly from central bankers.
Finally, Paola, if central bank boards were 16% male rather than 16% female, how different would the world be?
Our results suggest that monetary policy would be more cautious, let's say. Credibility of central banks probably higher. But also, as I told you, we have not investigated this yet. But I also believe that spillover effects could be very important in terms also of culture, role model. I mean, these are positions very important and really top decision-making positions. Probably it would be interesting to investigate whether this will have spillover effects in terms of culture.
Paolo Profeta, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
A reminder that the column's called Why Women Matter in Monetary Policymaking, and it's based on a working paper called Do Women Matter in Monetary Policymaking, which is a Baffi Carefin Centre research paper. This has been a Vox Talk presented by the Centre for Economic Policy Research. You can find us on all the major podcast platforms or at voxeu.org/vox-talks.